Dr. Burkett, how would you describe what's happened this week in the North Carolina General Assembly?
The most stunning thing that's happened has been this amendment to a Sharia law bill that was a House bill that made it over to the Senate. In the after hours yesterday, the North Carolina Senate launched a sneak attack against women by adding a sweeping restrictive legislature on abortion to this Sharia law bill. And this was passed in a second reading last night, passed this morning. I've just seen that as well in my emails.
Why do you refer to this as a restrictive bill?
What's happened is that throughout this legislative session, there have been numerous bills that have been introduced in committee but not made it out of committee in our state legislature. And of course, as you know, across the country, this has been happening as well. We have been fortunate enough that these things have been have not made it out of committee over the course of this legislative session. And so here in these sort of last hours, and in a very sneaky way, they've added these restrictive measures to this. Now, when I say restrictive, what I'm saying is, first of all, that there's multiple ones. They put most of them that they had previously considered as separate bills all into one. Just by nature, the additive nature makes them more restrictive. The biggest restriction that you see is one that's is a type of legislature called TRAP legislature, which stands for Targeted Regulation of Abortion Providers. And this is a type of legislative type of bill or law that basically puts restrictions on abortion providers themselves, not rather than on the patient, on the potential patient. So a lot of laws have been passed to make women have to drive further or go in two or three times or things like that. In this case, the TRAP part puts the onus on the provider, and in this case, they've added the restriction that the physician physically be present when a patient takes a pill for a medically induced abortion, which is both restrictive to the provider as well as to the patient. It also adds the requirement that the Department of Health and Human Services place ambulatory surgical care facility-type restrictions on abortion health centers. So what that does is it requires that the abortion provider, whether it be an organization or an individual, bring their facilities up to a really high and unnecessary level. This is a procedure that can be done, you know, in a regular office setting, and is done in a regular office setting across the country. And it also typically requires that be done in the setting of just medication abortion as well, or abortion by pill. So obviously there's no need for a surgical setting when you're providing something by pill. So that's extremely unnecessarily restrictive.
Senator Warren Daniel of Morganton, Republican, was quoted as saying, "Women deserve the right to walk into a clinic that's clean and safe."
No, this bill is about closing down abortion centers.
How does it directly affect clinics that are operated by Planned Parenthood in North Carolina?
Well, that, I think, remains to be seen. You know, what I would anticipate is that if it passes, it has to go back to the House after the holiday. And if it were to pass, then the Department of Health and Human Services would decide, you know, what those regulations would be come January. And then there would be a period of time that we would have to comply. And we would have to update our health centers to meet the regulations. That may mean closing down. It could mean something as severe as closing down health centers. It could mean going through the laborious and unnecessary process of fundraising to be able to bring things up to speed. And then the other pieces that are the other more hoops that we'd have to jump through more immediately, they've got an October 1st deadline on some of them. And basically what they would do is require us to, once again, change the way we provide care. And we'd have to be, you know, getting more providers in more frequently in order to comply with those.
Do these new regulations on women's health care clinics drastically reduce access to safe care for women across North Carolina?
They have the potential to. You know, will they in North Carolina? I think that remains to be seen. Historically, it's these TRAP regulations that have been quite effective, as you've seen in Mississippi and other places. We're seeing one enacted right now in Alabama. And, of course, you've seen all the quagmire in Texas that's made all the national news. So they are pretty effective in decreasing access. And what that means for women, if their abortion is their choice, it's further delayed, which means they get a later term abortion that may be more expensive to them, that they may have to drive further for, pay more for, and end up with taking on more risk. A first trimester abortion is a very, very safe procedure. And when women are pushed into a situation where they have to have a later term abortion, that increases the risk.
Let me ask you a few quick questions about a bill that did pass, and it was an amendment to the Healthy Youth Act. It has to do with health curriculum for seventh graders, health curriculum preterm birth. They've added induced abortion to the list of risks that could lead to preterm pregnancies. Is there any scientific data to support adding induced abortions to that list as a risk factor?
There is no strong peer-reviewed study that supports that statement. There was in 2012 a Finnish study published in Human Reproduction that suggested that a high number of repeat abortions may increase the risk of preterm birth among women who choose to carry to term. But this is a very, very small population in this setting, and they had a disproportionate level of other risk factors for poor birth outcomes, such as smoking, you know, a low socioeconomic status. And the authors themselves in this study actually state that there's no ability to prove causality on the basis of their study. But it has been tossed around a bit and is being used in bringing these types of bills up. The conservative legislators are using it to add these types of requirements to a curriculum.
Reading from the bill, it talks about instruction in school health education programs on the preventable causes of preterm birth. Quoting, it says, provides factual, accurate biological or pathological information that is related to the human reproductive system, teaches about the preventable causes of preterm birth in subsequent pregnancies, including induced abortion, smoking, alcohol consumption, the use of illicit drugs, and inadequate prenatal care. The amendment is the inclusion of induced abortion. You take exception to that, the additional language?
Absolutely. That is not a scientifically sound message to be giving our kids, whereas the other statements are.
The bill also instructs the Department of Health and Human Services Division of Public Health to provide the Department of Public Instruction some educational materials with the most current information available about the preventable causes of preterm birth and subsequent pregnancies, again, including induced abortion. Is it conceivable to you that the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, who is a doctor, can in good conscience create that kind of educational curriculum?
I certainly hope not. I hope that is not something that a physician could do.
It's very likely the House will pass the restrictions on abortions, and the bill will go to the governor. And even if the governor were to choose to veto the bill, there are enough votes in the General Assembly to override his veto. What does that say about the state of North Carolina and the future of access to healthcare services for women in this state?
You know, I think the women of North Carolina are going to have to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that this is not the way we want our legislators to protect us. That's their job, and this is not succeeding. This is doing just the opposite, and it's going to take movements like what's happening in Texas this very week and last week. The uproar in Virginia over the ultrasound probe language and their trap law. You know, it's going to take these types of responses to make any changes, and then it's going to also take a show of, you know, we don't like this in the voting polls in 2014. I'm Donna Burkett. I'm the medical director of Planned Parenthood Health Systems Incorporated.